It was a wintry night, 1839. The chassidim all gathered in the room around a table, and the kutzker sat at the head. And he was silent. Everyone was waiting for him to say something, waiting for him to open his mouth. They knew something was troubling him, and they were waiting for each word, anything that he would say, they would hang on to. And all of a sudden, the kutzker leans his head back, opens his mouth, and that's all we know of the story. From that moment on, which is known as that Friday night in Kutsk, the Meishiloach Ishbitzer left, started new chassidus, Mil Hashem Elai, left the building, I'm done here. The Chidushi Arim had to fight back to keep everybody involved. Tons of his chassidim never came back to Kutsk after that night. And nobody knows what happened. And anybody that may know what happened won't say. And those who say they know,
can't trust.
How do you trust them, Alia? Yeah. Different versions. Academics say this, scholars say that, people that are anti-Hasidim say this, people that are pro-Hasidim, people that are Hasidim but anti-Kutsk say something else. But no one knows what happened that night. But how did we get there? And how was it that from that night and for the next 20 years, the Kutsker said, I'm done with this world, ran away into his room, and never came out again? 20 years. The story of Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, the Kutzker, is one of the most remarkable stories in Jewish history. Him as an individual is one of the most remarkable individuals in Jewish history. So, I tell you two things. Number one, do not copy anything. And number two, if you pay close attention, you might learn something. So, the Kutzker was born in a place called Gorai, Poland, in 1787, which means if you're putting things together, who did he live at the same time as? And?
Nothing.
Correct. Same time. But he was in Poland, not Ukraine. He's in Poland, about around 38 miles from Lublin. And growing up, he was a genius, remarkable mind, worked so hard, learning day and night. Mom is crazy as a mother. When he mastered all of Shas, okay, it's time to go to the Dvar Nistar in the Kabbalah. When you learn Kabbalah, does it make you a chassid?
No.
Did the grow in Kabbalah? Is he a huge Kabbalist? Yes, huge. Still huge Misnagid. Came from a big, intense Misnagid family. And he was growing and growing and growing and taking everything he learned so seriously. And as he grew up a little more, he said, okay, you know, maybe there's something more. I need something a little bit more. Right? We recognize these words a little bit. A lot of people felt we need a little bit more. And there was a tzaddik in Lublin. It was not too far away, like we said, about 38 miles. Anyone know? Tzaddik from Lublin? Lechoza was his name. Lechoza of Lublin. He's one of the early Chassidish Rebbes that made a big influence. Big miracle worker, exciting personality, said cool things, could have the Ruach HaKodesh, could see a lot. That's why they called him Lechoza, because he could see. And the Kutzker began to go to him. And at first he was a little bit impressed. You know, this cool guy, knows a lot of things. And then he became pretty unimpressed. He wasn't into miracles. He wasn't into the pop star Hasidic Rebbe where everyone's coming and he's using magic to solve all their problems. And he comes home. And the Kutzker's parents, he was young at the time, the Kutzker's parents come to him and they say, how dare you leave and go to a Hasidic rabbi? How could you do such a thing? You know we don't do Hasidus in this family. And the Kutzker says to his parents, and this is a young age, 13, 14 years old, he says, Ze keli ve'anveyu, Elokei avi ve'arom emenu. Ze keli ve'anveyu, he's my God first. Then I'll follow your path, parents. I got to find him myself. You can't have any rules for me. Kutzker grows up. That was him. His whole life was that pasuk. Ze keli ve'anveyu. Let me find my path. I'm not copying anybody else. And as he continues to grow up, he spends more time by the Chozah. They nicknamed him Mendel the Dark. He wasn't a happy guy. He wasn't making jokes all the time. He wasn't slapping anybody in the back. He was just doing his thing with intensity. And obviously they get married at what age in those days?
13.
Gets married at 13. Committed to honesty, sincerity. That's what he was into. And it's a good maisa that we said a lot of maisas tonight. How you get a feeling for who the Kutzker was. He was at his father-in-law's table. Only 14 years old. He's been only married for 1 year. Shon Rishon is my... There's also Shon Rishon with your in-laws. You'll understand what I mean in Mitzvah one day. He's by his in-laws, and his father-in-law is a big chassid. Every time he takes a bite of something, picks it up, Shabbos table, Chovid Shabbos Kedesh, and he takes a sip. Does that every single time he's eating. Everything, eat the Chovid Shabbos Kedesh. The Kutzker is sitting there, and his father-in-law's like, when are you going to do that also? And the Kutzker says, okay, you want me to do this? Takes a... Make Mizonos first, and I'll do a story after. Kutzker takes a piece of food. Goes, L'chovid my boich, which means my stomach. L'chovid my boich. That's what he says, his father-in-law. Father-in-law goes, new Shabbos? He goes, honesty is more important. I was hungry. And he goes up, and he goes, and the Kutzker eventually, like I said, he wasn't so impressed by the Choze, who was a huge, huge tzaddik. Not impressed. I don't need miracles. Show me how to be a Jew. And he goes to a place which is one of the most unique worlds in the whole world of Chassidus, called Pshischa. Pshischa was a makom. I was zocher to be there. And Pshischa is a place where the most important thing is truth, is honesty, is being true to who you are, not copying anybody else, not copying anyone else's avoda. This guy's davening doesn't mean you should daven like that. This guy's learning like that doesn't mean you should learn like that. Figure out why you should serve Hashem. Figure out your inyan. Be honest. Authentic. Put in real effort. Don't go to any fancy tzaddik and say, Rebbe, give me a skula to become a Talmid Chacham. What happens when you go to Rav Schechter, say, ask me a bracha for Talmid Chacham? What does he say? Just learn. You don't need brachas or skulas in Pshischa. There's no miracles. There's no magic. Just work hard. Be serious. Be honest. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to anybody else. Just work. That was Pshischa. And you have to understand, and this is the crazy thing. I was preparing this, like, I could literally go right now for 3.5 hours explaining to you why that was such a big deal. In the world of Chassidus, forget about what we learned in the past few weeks. In the world of Chassidus, the way things were in the 1800 Kufa was you have this miracle worker tzaddik rabbi who's, all the Chassidim who know nothing and simple people who work in the field and can barely daven come to him and give them brachas and the cows will give extra milk and they'll make extra money and their problems will be solved. And you go to that tzaddik with your problems and he'll solve them with miracles or whatever and brachos. That was what Chassidus was. They weren't very bright. They were muddy Jews who worked as farmers and they would come to the pop, the celebrity tzaddik, and he would solve their problems. That was what Chassidus was. How do you become a Chassid? You put on a hat and you go visit the tzaddik once or twice a year. It's not the most magical thing in the world. It's not the most exciting thing in the world. It's not the most real thing in the world. It became sort of like institution, what the Baal Shem Tov brought to the world of Simcha and Ahava and everything. It became more about the scotch than about the shir. It became more about talking to your friends than growing with your friends. It became more about getting brachos in skulas than being inspired to work and grow more. And Pshischa came to rebel against all of that. Pshischa came to say, forget about brachos, forget about skulas, forget about miracles. What matters is how hard you work. And the Kutzker fell in love with that. Kutzker said, this is real. Goes to Pshischa. Studies by the Yid HaKadosh. He passes away. Reb Simcha Bonum of Pshischa takes his seat. Kutzker was under him for a while. He loved it. Reb Simcha Bonum was one of the Kutzker's Rebbeim. He was a businessman. He was a pharmacist. Okay? The Yid HaKadosh, the Rebbe of Reb Simcha Bonum, this is Pshischa. He didn't say, all of my Torahs. He was the Talmud of Chozeh of Lublin. He left Lublin. He left the Chozeh. And you know what they ask him? Say, the Yid HaKadosh is like, who's your Rebbe? He didn't say the Chozeh. He said, when I was younger, there was a blacksmith who lived on my block. And the blacksmith would wake up really early to start hammering out swords. He's my Rebbe. Because then I realized, if he's waking up to hammer swords, I should wake up to learn more. And then the blacksmith saw him waking up. And the guy's like, this little Jew's trying to outsmart me, I'm going to wake up earlier. And the Yid says, That was my Rebbe. Nothing fancy, no tzaddik, a blacksmith. It was a rebellion against tzaddikim. And that's what the Kutzker fell in love with. Fell in love with Pshisla. And we're skipping so much, but what can you do? He lived a whole lifetime, we only have half an hour. But eventually, Simcha Benin passed away. And the Kutzker didn't really bother to be at the Levaya, he didn't really care. And after the Levaya, so who's going to be the next Rebbe? And I'm just going to drop a few names of who was around Kutzk and Pshisla. Rav Simcha Bonim, okay? Chidushi Arim, the first Ger Rebbe. Rav Chanoch of Alexander Chassidus. Amshinov comes from Rav Eisenstein's whole dynasty comes from there. Okay, we had the Avnei Nezer, the Sachat Shav, the Iglei Tal, the Shemi Shmuel, you know, his grandfather was the Kutzker. This is where we are. Who's going to be the next Rebbe? It's going to be the Kutzker. It's going to be the Kutzker. The Chidush Arim said it's going to be the Kutzker. And who was the Kutzker? What was he in this place? After Rav Simcha Bonim died, so there was a Jew that came. He had a problem. His landlord was being so evil. His landlord was harassing him. So they said, go to Rav Mendela, go to the Kutzker, see what it'll do for you. At this point, he hadn't been in Kutzker. His name wasn't really the Kutzker yet. It was just Rav Mendel. And this Jew went in, begged, can you help me with my landlord? And the Kutzker said, what do you think I am? Can I help you with your troubles? Have the Jewish people become cows? Have they come just to get food? He said, the Torah was given with thunder and lightning, and all you care about is the thunder and lightning, the magic. What about the Torah? He screams at this person who asks for help. And everyone knew that he's not going to change to fit this role. But he didn't say no to the role. And this is where the Kutzker becomes Rebbe. There's another good maisa that a Jew came to him for help, and he looks at him and he says, yes, for help. He goes, you? Coming to me? A Jew like you, the guy wanted to be a chassid, he said, a Jew like you? Go sit by the heater, go say tehillim. That's it. You should go say tehillim, don't be a chassid of mine. That's how he treated people. He's sharp as anything. That's why I'm drinking fireball tea tonight. Very spicy. So, he's in Pshisla, and then he says, okay, we gotta go find our own place. There's a bit of a split. He had a friend of Yitzhak Avorka, he kind of took over in Pshisla, but the Kutzker needed to go somewhere else. He moved to a place called Tamashav. And this is what I call the start of the Tamashav 200. Kutzker always said, I don't need anybody. Give me, there's different numbers exactly what it is, give me 40 Jews, give me 10 Jews, that's all I need. We'll go into the forest, we'll eat mun, and we'll change over the whole world. So he eventually does this in a place called Tamashav. Imagine this. 200 people. Actually around your age. Maybe even younger. You're all married. You all have kids already. That's what age we're holding. I don't remember. Those say. And it was a room of 200 people in Tamashav. Nobody ate any food. Everyone left their wives and children. And their families and their parents. And they were in one packed base medrash. Starving. They didn't wear hats. They wore cabbage leaves on their head. They had no money. They wore slippers in the base medrash. Shum davar. And they didn't care. Because the Kutzker had everybody. And the Kutzker demanded everything. Work and work and learn and daven for real. And don't show anybody what you're doing. In Tamashav, it was a bigger deal to learn by yourself in a hidden room than to learn in the base medrash. That way nobody can see you. You know, they say later about Kutzk, but it's the same thing that was in Tamashav. It was easier to find a Jew in Kutzk doing an Avera than openly doing a mitzvah. Do your Avoda for yourself. And this was Tamashav, was the magical 2 years and 2.5 years in Tamashav. Where the Kutzker would explain, a chassid is someone who can throw away the whole world. A chassid is someone who thinks before any word he says, should I say this? Why am I saying this? For every action he does, what is the point of me doing this? Before every single action. And they worked in Tamashav. They worked harder than anybody's ever worked before. That's what it was, a place of crazy avoda. This wasn't like the Baal Shem Tov's time of like, oh, this flute player, the Baal Shem Tov's flute player, this guy was playing the flute, everyone's yelling at him in shul, stop playing the flute. And Baal Shem Tov's like, no, it's the greatest thing in the world, he's playing the flute. You know what the Kutzker done? Broken this flute. This isn't a avoda session, he's playing the flute. Grow up. That's what he would say to him. Yell at him, grow up, get out of here. This is for real people, not flute players. You have to know shas, you have to know everything, you have to know the whole Torah. He was into philosophy also. He wasn't just into Mor Nevuchim is one of his favorite Sfarim. But he would go over to the people that weren't ready for it and he'd say, look, I think you're holding by the perplexed part, not the guy part. He wasn't really in the base matter. He would be in his room. And the Ishpitzer, the Meishilach, Mordechai Yosef Leiner, maybe we'll speak out of him one day, he was like one of the prized pupils of the Kutzker. And he was kind of like the guy around. And everyone would be learning, and the Kutzker would come out of his room for a second, stare at you, ask about your learning, maybe say something sharp, then go back to his room. But that at least was him being involved. And this was Tamashav, the Tamashav 200. 200 guys, and guess what happened? After about 2 years, they were thrown out of Tamashav. Why? A few reasons. Number one, when a tzaddik comes to the town, it's practically a good thing for business. In theory, like a lot of people are coming to visit, a lot of people are coming to, they'll buy things, they'll need wagon drivers, etc. And also, it's good, the tzaddik is happy, it brings bracha to the community, not the kutzker. When the kutzker and the chassidim came to Tamashav, not only did these people need money from every last community because they had no food now, but these kids, their parents, and their wives would come to Tamashav to beg the Kutzker, release our husbands, release our kids. We want them back. They just left us. But these guys were so intoxicated by true, authentic avoda, by working so hard, being so real with working, with davening, with midos, that they wouldn't leave. So it became a place that the city is like, no, we don't want you to get out. And that's when they went to Kutsk. Some say they went to Kutsk because the Rebbe of Kutsk invited them, the Rabbi of Kutsk invited them, you're welcome to join. Others say because when they went to go check out Kutsk, they threw stones at them, and the Kutsker said, this is a good place. This means they're alive. So that's how it would go. The Kutsker, when he would see Jews, the problem was, this was the Tamashav 200. As he kept on growing, you can imagine, the legend of the Kutsker grew. And people would come to the Kutsker, and they would want to come, and thousands of people eventually started coming to Kutsk to hear about the Rebbe, to go see what it's like, the magic of Kutsk. And the Kutsk got more and more upset about this. Because what did he want? A few real Jews, a few good men. He didn't need thousands of Hasidim. He didn't need 40 people, 50, 60 people at his shir. He didn't need to zoom it out and Facebook Live to the whole world. He wanted a few Jews who were real with him, that listened to what he said, that took him seriously, that wanted to change. And more people came, the more and more angry he got. Because all he saw was the fakeness in people. All he saw was the inauthenticity of people that would come, Rebbe, can you help me? I'm trying, I need help. No, you're not. You're not trying at all. Rebbe, I need help diving. You're not trying to dive in at all. I need help learning. Really? Have you tried? I need you to dive in for this. Dive in yourself. Yell at everybody. Kutzker would say to the closest people around him, he'd say, these people, they're coming to me. See what they do all week. They do whatever they want during the week. They come on Shabbos, they put on their strimal. Their Shabbos is the same as everyone else's day of the week. They're nothing. Sharp as anything. He would say the difference between a chassid and a misnagid, the kutzker. In theory, is that a chassid serves Hashem and a misnagid serves the Shulchan Aruch. Sharp, sharp. Kutzker, he wasn't against halacha, but he was against only halacha. If you only kept halacha, he called it idol worship. It's an isser to idolize halacha. There needs to be a God behind it. He just wanted 10 Jews to yell, there is a God in the world, and that was all he wanted. And this was him. So he moves to Kutsk. I'll tell you an amazing maisa. This is a real Kutzker maisa. Kutzker's son was dying. The Kutzker's son, David, was dying. And he was mamish on the brink of death. And when he comes back, eventually Baruch Hashem, he was zocher to return back to life. When he comes back to life, Kutzker asks him, what was it like? What was the last few minutes like? Where were you? What were the temptations you experienced as you were dying? And David says to him, he says, as I was dying, and there were so many people around me in the room, I was tempted to scream out and show everybody how to die like such a firm way. Like, I'm going to show me how firm I am. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. I was going to scream out Shema Yisrael. Everyone's going to think I'm so firm. Mamash said to his father. He's like, but then I didn't do it. And the Kutzker's like, you're a true chassid of Kutzk. That's what it means. Avoda is inside. All the chassidim at those times are davening, clapping, big things. Kutzker davens like this. Nothing is about what anybody else can see. It's a beautiful idea think about this every year. It's coming up soon. The Meraglim come and they're explaining to Moshe that the Klal Yisrael, like, we looked at them and we felt like grasshoppers because they were so big in Eretz Yisrael, the giants. And we were in their eyes like grasshoppers. Kuskim says, what was the issue with the Meraglim? Why are you looking in someone else's eyes? Just look at yourself. You're looking at the eyes of the giants? No. Don't look at anybody else's eyes in any part of your Avodas Hashem. Look at yourself. Don't look at anyone else. You be you. Don't let anyone affect who you are supposed to be. Give you some intensity. You think that if you weren't true, if you weren't amistic, if you weren't holding by this, a guy is better than you. He said a complete guy is better than half a Jew. You wouldn't imagine these tzaddikim saying lashon like this. And anyways, I'll finish the story of his life. But the Kutzker's life goes on, and he begins to descend into a crazy state of depression. And he gets more and more angry at the world. And he says lines like, I don't belong in this world, where the whole world is fake, the whole world's a lie, the whole world's a joke, everyone is sheker. There's no one authentic in this world. And every time he comes out of his room and sees more and more people, he just retreats more and more into himself. Because he himself was fighting to be emistic, to be real. A lot of people say, what's the main word in emes? In Kotsk, it's emes. But there's a better word. It's emesdikait. Emesdikait. It's a Yiddish word. It's like, it's not just truth. It's being emesdik. It's a way of living in truth. And emesdikait, it's a culture of everything you're doing being honest. Of going to minyan because... Not just everything he needs to have from real source. And the Kutzker keeps on getting more and more depressed that he's trying. He almost thought he had it in Tamashav, and he's not getting there. And life is just getting worse. And the world is getting worse. And he's getting more and more depressed that he's not able to succeed. And eventually we reach that night in 1839 when the Kutzker, everyone was noticing that he was getting darker and darker and darker. And he was never happy, and he was never into anything, and he was more and more like a caged beast. He was pacing, and his hair was growing wild, and everyone knew that he was maybe going to say something at any point. And this Mordechai Yosef Leiner, he went to Ishbitzer. They said, can you speak to him, whatever, and they go for a walk in the forest. They walk for a while. It's Erev Shabbos. And the Ishbitzer says to the Kutzker, knew, like, maybe we should go back. I think it might have been Simchas Torah, even Erev Shabbos, maybe we should go back. And something happened. But from there he goes to that tish, Friday night. And the Kutzker was in such a dark place. And what happened that night? Did he give up on the world? There's some people that say he extinguished the Shabbos candles on Friday night. There's some that say he screamed out, Leis din v'leis dayan. There's no proper judgment and there's no judge of the world. There's some that say he just decided, I'm not emes. I'm not truthful. And he mamish left the world. He went to his room for 20 years and didn't come out. Every once in a while he would come out. Some of his chassidim remained. Some of his chassidim said, okay, we're going to stick with him. The Ishbitzer, who was number one, left. I'm done. Mila Hashem Elai leaves and doesn't come back. A split which shattered the Kutzker. His favorite Talmud left. But some people still believe in the Kutzker, and they waited outside in the room. Maybe he'll come out, and he would come out like a few times a year and like look at everyone like with these crazy eyes. They're flaming. Scream something, and then go back, and everyone would run away. I mean, the Avni Nezer didn't even marry in until a few years later, 1853. So the Kutzker went in hiding already. That was 14 years already he's been in hiding. And the Kutzker dies at the end of these 20 years in a crazy place. Before he dies, every single manuscript he ever wrote, he burns. He was working on a sefer called Toras Adam, explaining everything that mattered to him, the authenticity and truth, being real, burns it all. It's not good enough. It's not a Shema, it's not real. He was at a Pesach Seder with his family one year, came out, and the Avnei Nezer, his son-in-law, the Sachat Shavar is there. I learned from the sefer Iglei Tal and Hilchos Shabbos, he's the guy who wrote it. And he's sitting there, and someone like nudges the Avnei Nezer, like, just so you know, like, maybe tell like your father, like, he forgot to give out the maror. And the Adonizer, like, cleverly discusses, like, whole sugya of, like, oh, it's Mar Din Deraisa de Rabbana, and kind of like the hint to his father, and all, like, Katsu, like, forgot to give it the Mar. And the Katsu, like, Chapa was going on, he screams at everybody, you're a bunch of Maror fressers. You're just like eating Maror. What does that mean? He's like, you're a bunch of fakers. Like, you just like Maror the Suda, you don't feel anything real. You're just like eating Maror. Pretend, like, oh, you love, like, crying about, like, that person who passed away, like, as if you really care. You love, like, crying, ah, I'm so pained by what's happening in Klai, so I'm like, You just like the immune of feeling like you're in pain. You're not real. Screams. Everyone ran away from the city. They didn't come back. And that was the end of the Katsu's life. The sad and depressing ending of his life. So I told you it's a remarkable story. And what does this man mean to us? Meaning, even in his day, there was tremendous opposition against him when he was alive. The Hasidim were against him. They tried to excommunicate him and ban him. What he was doing, they started davening late tefillos. They started davening way past zman, because what's davening if you're not really meaning it? So who cares when you do it? It doesn't mean anything if it's on time. And actually, Rabbi Kiva Eger saved the Kutzker. He was the one that said, no, we can't put them in Chayim for whatever reason. It's crazy, crazy thing. But what did we learn from him? Like I told you, we're not supposed to copy. If you copy him, he'd kill you. Copy the Kutzker? Crazy. A monkey? An animal? So what do we learn from that? So I think that what we have to ask ourselves, Mazo Merlanu, is ask yourself with emistikite. Ask yourself with honesty. Any question? I'll give you a couple examples. Why are you learning? For real. You don't need a terrence. An honest answer that you really believe is true. Why are you learning? Why are you here? Why do you come to Israel for the year? Because you want to grow? Because everyone else does it? Why are you here tonight? Why am I giving this year? Why am I growing my payas at? For real. Do all you think I'm cool? No? Why are you going to leave and go, oh, that was fire to all your friends? Why do you do that? Just every year you have to go around saying that was fire to everybody? What's your goal? What's your point? Why do you go to davening every morning? Are you trying as hard as you say you are? Who are you copying? And who are you trying to impress? Why is your Gemara underlined? Why is your Gemara rubbed out on the back? Do you really think that what you're doing is called benching? Kutzker would always say that anybody who copies anybody else is a monkey. Anything you're doing to fit in with anybody else, why are you dressing that way? Why are you acting that way? Why are you going to that place? Why are you going to that college? Why are you going to... Why are you doing anything? If anything is because, oh, that's what that person did, you are a monkey. And if anything, you're worse than a monkey. Because a monkey was supposed to be a monkey. You're not supposed to be a monkey, and you're acting like one. You're even copying a monkey. So I'm not going to end by giving any brachas. There's no brachas I'm giving here. I'm not going to end like, oh, we should be zechet. No. Just don't be a monkey. Don't be a monkey. Thank you. Shkaya, boys. Let's...